God. My soul has found its refuge in Jesus, the rock of God. He's the rock of ages. Jesus is the rock, the only rock. Jesus, the rock of God. My soul has found its refuge in Jesus, the rock of God. He's the rock of ages. Jesus, the rock, the only rock. Hallelujah. Yes, my soul has found it refuge in him. Jesus, the solid rock. Jesus is the rock, the solid rock. Hallelujah.
Jesus, the rock of God.
Oh yes, my soul has found it refuge in him. Jesus, the solid rock.
To be able to see and understand and experience the power in your name, to experience the might in your name, and to experience the grace that is available in your name, O God. Guide this meeting, Father Lord, and I find no sufficiency in myself, O God, but I ask that Holy Spirit, you may start showing me the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Just to give you the background, I was initially going to speak on the names of the Lord. So when, I don't know if you guys remember when Uncle Richard came and he spoke about the four helpers, and one of the four helpers was the name of the Lord. And after he spoke about that, I decided to compile a list of the names of God. So I compiled about 70, because I felt like the names of the Lord explain different aspects of who the Lord is. So there's a name of the Lord, I would say Jehovah Makadesh. So that means the Lord sanctifies his people. So Jehovah Nissi, I believe that the Lord is my banner, and things like that. So I compiled the names of the Lord, and that was what I wanted to speak. I even wanted to like print it and share it to everyone. But if you still want it, I can send pictures of it to you. But I didn't do that. I was So waiting on the Lord, and then it just switched to more of the name of the Lord rather than the names of God. So that is what I'm just here to share about. And I could not come up with a title for the theme, so I just called, any of you guys can call me title for it, I just called it a few, I guess, points on the names of the Lord. And it's not, I guess, something that we don't know already, but it's just an exhortation for us to actually see and understand the power in the name of the Lord. So when I looked at the meaning of the name of the Lord, does anyone actually know what the meaning of name? Like, okay, think of this scripture. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. If you check the meaning of name there, it actually means authority. So anyway, you see name in the Bible, name of Jesus, it is the authority of Jesus. So as believers, like what Ricky shared when he shared a man under authority, he explained that as believers, when we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, we have certain rights and privileges, but you have it. But it's kind of like how Galatians says, a son, as long, how does he even put it? As long as an heir, as long as he's a child, yeah, it doesn't, yes, because he does not know the things I have. So that's in the same sense, when we have been translated as believers to the kingdom of his dear son, we have rights and privileges, but it's knowledge and faith that takes, that allows us to access those rights and privileges. You have to know to be able to use it. You have to know and believe in that those let's say tools and instruments that have been provided before you can use it. So that's the same thing with the name of the Lord. You have to know that it is powerful, understand what Jesus has done and why that name is effective. So that's about the name of the Lord. And really, this name has been freely given to the church. As long as you are a believer, you have access to the power in the name of the Lord, but it requires faith. It requires faith to access the authority. And one interesting thing I was thinking about, it was Paul, when Paul was speaking in Corinthians, I believe, and I don't know if it's Philippians, he's speaking about the love of God. He will say, may you comprehend with all of the saints. When you say meaning of comprehend, it means to grasp. So the love of God was something that Paul, you could see that he understood, because he'd be like, I am persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of God. So when you know the power in the name of the Lord, you know the power in the love of God, you are persuaded. You can use and access the power in the name of God, using it. Anyways, praise the Lord. That is, I'm just trying to explain. So to know, and then one interesting thing, when I checked the meaning of the name of the Lord, it means authority. And then when you now check the root word, it means to know absolutely. So when you want to know the name of the Lord, when you know the authority of the Lord, it's something you have to know absolutely to be able to actually use the authority of the Lord. So I just found that as pretty, very, very interesting. So to actually explain the authority that we have as believers, to kind of give us a picture, a sense, for us to be able to see, I want us to go to the book of Esther. Esther chapter 3. Chapter 3. So, yeah, I believe we all know the story of Esther. She was King Ahasuerus. That's in chapter 1 of Esther. He sent away his wife, who was Queen Vashti, and then Esther was one of the, they brought a lot of virgins for the king to pick a new wife, and then Esther was the one that was selected. So that's more of the background. And Esther was the one that delivered the Jews from persecution and things like that. So that's just like a background on the story of Esther. So Esther 3, let me just see where we should start from. Okay, so let's actually start from verse 7. In the first month, that is the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast Paul, that is, the lot, before Haman from day to day and from month to month, to the 12th month, that is the month of Adar. And then Haman said to King Ahasuerus, There is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all people. Neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore, it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasuries. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedata, the Agagite, the Jews' enemy. And the king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee, the people also, to do with them as it seemed good to thee. Then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month, and there was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants and to the governors that were over every province, and to the rulers of every people of every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language. In the name of King Ahasuerus was it written and sealed with the king's ring. And the letters were sent by post into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. The copy of the writing for commandments to be given in every province was established unto all people, that they should be ready against the day. The post went out, being hastened by the king's commandment, and the decree was given in Shushan the palace, and the king and Haman sat down to drink, for the city Shushan was perplexed. Praise the Lord. So here, when we look at, okay, so Haman was kind of like a commander of the king's army, and he said to the king, okay, there are some people, those are the Jews, that they are making money, you don't bring it to the, so we can kind of tax them and they will bring the money to the treasury of the king. And then the king just removed his ring. And the ring is very symbolic, because the ring, or it's called ring or signet ring of a king, symbolizes his authority. So how you can imagine is like, I think in those days it will have like a kind of a writing, and then you stamp it, and then it shows, okay, this is approved by the king. So that is a symbol of his authority. Once you have that ring, you can just basically write anything you want. Okay, kill these people. As long as it's there, it is done. So the king removed his ring, more of like giving his authority to a man, and said, do whatever. It's not even do whatever you want with the people. So a man wrote a letter, do this. He says, what did he even say? He said, kill and cause to perish all Jews, young and old, little children. And then he just sealed it, and then he sent it away. And the king basically did not even read the letter or check anything, because Haman had all the authority because of the king's ring. So that is the same way it is with the name of the Lord. When you have the name of the Lord, it's basically an authority from God to us as believers. So anything you write, or let's say anything you say in prayer, and you just say, in Jesus' name, it is done, it is sealed, and it must be done. That is what it is with the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then one thing very interesting also in the book of Esther is, after all this thing happened, after Haman wrote the letter and then was sealed with the ring of the king's ring, then Esther as well, she because she was a Jew, she had to defend the Jews, and then she went to the king and said, Haman wants to do this, blah 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 blah. Because the funny thing is that the king did not even know what Haman had written. It's just like how you don't have to go back to a king to ask for authority when he's already given you. Haman was not going to say, oh, the king, is this letter good enough? No, you already had the authority of the king, so he could do anything he wants. So let's just put that in our minds and then compare it to the authority that God has given to us as believers. It's quite powerful. And then we'll now go to the book of Esther 8. So that's where Esther spoke to the king.
Hallelujah.
And then the king had to reverse it.
Glory.
So from verse 1, actually. Okay. On that day did the king Ahasuerus give the house of Haman, the Jew's enemy, unto Esther the queen. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told her what he was unto her. And the king took off his ring again, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it unto Mordecai. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. And Esther spake yet again before the king, and fell down at his feet and besought him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman, the Agagite, and his device that he had devised against the Jews. Then the king held out the golden scepter towards Esther. So Esther arose and stood before the king and said, if it please the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and the thing seem right before the king, and I be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedata, the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews, which are in all the king's provinces. Then the king says, For how can I endure to see the evil that shall come unto my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? Then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen, and to Mordecai the Jew, Behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hanged upon the gallows, because he hath laid his hand upon the Jews. Write ye also for the Jews as it liketh you, in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name, and sealed with the king's name, may no man reverse. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So here, in verse 5, Esther was saying to the king, and if it be pleasing your eyes, let it be written to reverse the letters. But we see here, Esther could not write to reverse the letters. She didn't reverse it. Do you know what she wrote? She wrote, where is even the writing? It was very, very interesting to me. Just because it has already been sealed. Let me look for what she wrote. Okay. So what she wrote is in verse 11. She says, Wherein the king granted the Jews which were in every city to gather themselves together and to stand for their life, to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish all the power of the people and province that would assault them, both little ones and women, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. So in the previous chapter 3, Haman wrote that the Jews should be slain and destroyed, but Esther could not reverse that. So what she wrote was that she gave the Jews power to stand up against those people that Haman had commanded against her. Why? Because Haman had written the letter and sealed it with the king's ring. So you cannot reverse that. Even the king said in verse 8, he says, what is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring, may no man reverse. So Esther said, please let me reverse it, but she can't reverse it. So she had to write a letter that will grant the Jews authority to stand up against the people that will rise up against them, like what Haman has written. So that is the same way it is with the authority of the Lord. We have the king's ring already in our hands. So anything we write and declare in prayer, it is done. There's no need to be shouting. Like, okay, yes, sometimes when you are praying, sometimes you raise up your voice. But sometimes, like after, when I was writing this message, I would just be praying, like, actually strong prayers. But when I just say, in Jesus' name, there's this kind of rest, I would just be so happy. In Jesus' name. It is, in my mind, I've been imagining, like, I'm wearing the ring and then just sealing those prayers. In Jesus' name. It is done. So there's nothing that can reverse it. And then, in John 16, verse 23, when Jesus was speaking to his disciples, he said, Ye shall ask nothing of me. Let's actually go there. John 16, verse 23. Okay. So, it says, And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you.
Amen.
It says, And in that day you will ask me nothing. So you don't have to come to me with the prayer I've already prayed and say, God, is this prayer good enough? No, because God has already given us the authority. So you ask me nothing, but what? You will ask in my name, with my authority that I've already given unto you. You just have to know that I've given it unto you and use it. So you will ask me nothing in that day. There was no need, as I said before, for the king basically did not know the letter that a man wrote. That's why I'm very sure if he did, he wouldn't have allowed him to send that letter. In the last verse of Esther 3, he said the king just sat down to drink wine or something. He did not even know anything that had happened because a man just had the authority like that. And when the president, I was not thinking about Revelation, where it says, John that was crying, there was no one that was found worthy to lose the seals thereof. And they were not saying that the name or the authority of the Lord is kind of like a seal in our prayers. And it was only the lion of the tribe of Judah that was able to lose the seals in Revelation. So if we are children of God and we are saying our prayers, which is authority, and it is only Jesus that can lose the seals, would they lose the seals on our prayers? No. So when we seal our prayers with the name of God, no other power, no other demon principalities can cancel it, because only the Lion of the tribe of Judah can prevail to lose the seed of our prayer. Jesus is referred to the Amen. When he was speaking in Revelation 3, he says, thus saith the Amen. He was speaking to the tradition. Amen. Oh, is it in Jesus' name? You don't have to add Amen, self, because it's already done. Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus is the Amen. So everything we take in Jesus' name, verily, and done, it is done in the name of Jesus. So we have authority as believers. And I guess this is the first point I'm trying to pass across, is that the name of the Lord is the authority of believers, and it is given unto us freely, but we need faith to, or we have to know first, and then we need faith to actually access that authority. And then God is so wise. God was, when the Bible says he had given him a name that is far above every other name, God knew what he was doing at that point, because he knew that we would need the name of God as a powerful tool and weapon. So when he was saying, oh, I've given you a name that's far above every other name, that at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, God did it on purpose, because he knew that as believers we would need that name. So God exalted his name above every other name. He said, in the name of Jesus, it is done. So we have the name of Jesus as a tool. Even a tool of, we're talking about spiritual warfare now. It's also a tool in spiritual warfare as well, the name of Jesus, a powerful name that we have. And we just need faith and belief that once we just pray, it is done. That's all we need as believers. So the name of the Lord is the authority of believers, and it is given unto us freely. Once you say, once you are saved by the name of the Lord, you have access to that authority. It is the king's ring. So you can be putting an image in your mind of like a ceiling that is done once you pray. And you just say, in Jesus' name, Amen. So that's one point. The name of the Lord is authority of God. And then, after thinking about this, I thought about the scripture in Matthew. Sorry, I'm talking to you guys of how my thought processes were going. So, okay. Hallelujah. So I was thinking about that scripture in Matthew, where it was. Actually, let's just go there. He was speaking about Matthew 7. It says, Matthew 7. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that walk iniquity. And then I was thinking about the scripture. How can people prophesy in the name of God, cast out devils, and do many wonders in the name of God, and then Jesus will now say, depart from me, I never knew you? And then Lord said, so there's a difference. So referring back to the first thing I said about the name being an authority given to us believers, once you believe in Jesus, you have authority over it. You can use the name of the Lord. But then there's a distinction between using the name of the Lord and then having the name of the Lord written on your forehead, like Revelation 22 said. Having the name of the Lord written on your forehead like a seal, it means you are God's own people. So that happened in Revelation 22 when the Lord sealed his Revelation 22 verse 4. It says, and his name shall be in their foreheads, when he was referring to the New Jerusalem church. So there are people that have the name of the Lord. Like how Loki said, you have to know the name of the Lord as an identity. This is basically the same thing. You can use the name of the Lord, fine. But it's a different set of believers that God has always said, this is my own. And then they have his name in their foreheads as a seal of the Lord. So these people here, they use the name of the Lord and things like that. But he says, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that walk iniquity. So having the name of the Lord on our heads or in our foreheads as a seal is something that we have to desire as believers. Not just to use the name of the Lord, because in the kingdom of God, there's basically distinctions. Yes, some people can, when we talk about first fruits, blah, blah, and things like that, it's a distinction between believers. The first fruits are still out of believers in that sense. So, it is having the name of the Lord as a seal on your forehead. Let's go to Ezekiel 9. Sorry, I'm going to a lot of scriptures. Ezekiel 9. Okay. Can anyone read from verse 4 to 6?
The Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh, and that cry for all the abominations that have been done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said in my hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly, old and young, both maids and little children and women. But come not near any man upon whom is a mark. And begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men, which were before the house.
Praise the Lord. So in Ezekiel 9, similar to Revelation 22, where it says, and their name shall be on my forehead, he's asking Ezekiel here in verse 4, set a mark upon the foreheads of the men. And you notice here, he was telling Ezekiel, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem. So that's something very interesting. The sealing was done in the midst of Jerusalem. So the man is going through the city of Jerusalem. But out of Jerusalem were people sealed. It wasn't everyone in Jerusalem that was sealed. There was those that sighed and cried for the abomination that was done thereof, where it was out of God's people. Let's go to Revelation 7. A similar thing that was happening in Ezekiel 9. So, Revelation 7 from verse 1. Okay, it says, and after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, and the wind should not blow upon the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom he was given to hurt the sea and the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. So, like that, until, actually, let's just stop there. So the same thing, the tribes were sealed 12,000 until verse 8. And similar to the thing that happened in Ezekiel 9, they were sealed out of the tribes of God. In Ezekiel 9, they were sealed out of Jerusalem. In Revelation, they were sealed out of the tribes. Those tribes, everyone was still, well, let's say in the sense of like believers and things like that, but they were sealed out of them. And similar to Ezekiel, they were the ones that sighed and cried for the abomination that was done thereof in the city of God. So it is for God to set a seal upon your head or his name upon your forehead, you have to, as we sang today, pray or even hate wickedness like God does and love righteousness. For that is the kind of people that God seals. He doesn't seal you just because, he doesn't seal you when you are perfect. He seals you when he looks at your heart, and then he seals you. If he sees that your heart is crying out to be righteous, to hate every form of wickedness, then he puts a mark upon you and says, yes, this is my son, this is my daughter, because he has a heart after me. That's what God does, to select those who are his. And if you go to 2 Timothy 2, verse 19, I think it's quite a common scripture, 2 verse 19 to 21. I'll just quickly read this. It says, oh, actually, we saw that reading. Second Timothy 2 verse 19.
Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity.
Thank you. So, if you remember that scripture that we read in Matthew, where it was referring to those that use the name of the Lord, and then Jesus said, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. They did not have a name of the Lord upon their foreheads. They were workers of iniquity. And then in 2 Timothy 2 verse 19, it says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So those that have the foundation, sorry, have the seal of the Lord upon their foreheads are those that are his, and are those that depart from iniquity. So read it again. The foundation of the Lord standeth sure, having this seal. What seal? The Lord knows those who are his. The Lord knows who has already set his seal upon their foreheads and said, these are my people. So, as I said before, there's a difference between those that we use the name of the Lord. I mean, I don't want to be just someone that uses the name of the Lord, but I want to be someone that has the name of the Lord on my forehead, saying, I am for the Lord. I stand on the side of the Lord. And then everything will follow, because you already have the authority of God in you, and he's saying that you are mine already. So that is just two different aspects of just using the name of the Lord and then having the seal of the Lord on your head. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God. So that's another point, a different one. So another point is, there's a difference between, also there are two different things, using the name of the Lord and having the name of the Lord as a seal on your forehead. And then another point is a very popular scripture that comes to my mind when I think about the name of the Lord is, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it, and they are safe. And if we check the meaning of a strong tower, it means an elevated, I think a raised bed, an elevated pulpit, or something like a raised stage or something like that. So that's what a tower means, the name of the Lord. So the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and we run into it and we are safe. So when we call upon the name of the Lord, and when we use the name of the Lord, especially in, you know, in troubling times and things like that, it is as if we are running into a hiding place. The example I'm thinking about is, so when there's an earthquake, people usually have bunkers, especially in this place where there are a lot of earthquakes. They have bunkers on the ground that I think is made of metals. So you run inside, and even though when everything happens, you are still safe underneath. So that's more of what the name of the Lord is. It elevates us and puts us in a place of security. Once we call upon the name of the Lord, it's more of like he has carried us on eagle's wings. And when you're speaking to the Israelites, you have seen what I did for you, how I bear you on eagle's wings. That is what the name of the Lord does. He raises us far above principalities and powers and demons and anything that is trying to affect us from the... We just leave the earth when we use the name of the Lord and run into that strong tower, that strong fortress. And in Ezekiel 9, when the Lord was sealing his people, they began to... they were slaying the people, but they did not start yet until the people were sealed. So that's another sense of the name of the Lord. He puts us in a place of security. So no matter what is happening in the land or whatever, it is not affecting us, because we are not of the earth. We are spiritual beings, and we use the name of the Lord to be in the heavens constantly. That is what the name of the Lord does. In Revelation as well, when they were sealing, there was an angel that had the power to hurt the earth and hurt the sea, but they could not start yet until what? The people of the Lord were sealed. So that is what the name of the Lord does for. He puts us in a place of constant security. We run into the fortress of God when we say the name of Jesus. You just call upon the name, and you are lifted far above all principalities once you imagine that in your head. So when we are using the name of the Lord and we're in troubling times or something like that, just imagine, put a mental image of, oh, I've entered into my bunker and I'm safe. No matter the rubble that is falling down, I am safe and secure. I'm in the strong tower of the Lord. So that is what the name of the Lord is. It elevates us and puts us in a place of security. We are safe in the name of the Lord. I like to say that the name of the Lord is my hiding place. You know when you play that game, hide and seek, and you, that's my hiding place. That's where the name of the Lord is. I'm always hiding there, always found on that in his name. So that is another point about the name of the Lord. It is our security. It is our strong tower, an elevated pulpit, a raised bed, far above all principalities and powers. So that is the name of the Lord. Okay. Amen.
Amen.
I pray this message will not be short. But okay. Praise the Lord. And okay. And yeah, just another scripture. It says, for those that call upon the name of the Lord will be saved as well. So that's another point of security of the name of the Lord. And another one that I really, really loved when I was writing this message is Satan trembles at the mention of the name. When I thought about this thing, the Lord said to me, it's very interesting because it seems as if my people don't know. Oh, sorry. Satan knows more about the power in the name of the Lord than us as believers. That's what he said. I was like, yeah, maybe that's actually true. Because Satan actually trembles, but us as believers, because I guess we say it every single time we pray Jesus' name every single day, that's become familiar to us. But Satan is still trembling when you see that name of Jesus. When the apostles or disciples, when they were preaching after Jesus had done in Acts, the Sadducees or the Pharisees commanded them and said, do not teach in this name of the Lord. They did not want that name. Them too, they were afraid of the name of the Lord. That is how powerful the name of the Lord. Satan is afraid of that name. And when we read this scripture that Uncle likes to quote, and he spoiled principalities and made a show of them openly. In fact, let us go to that scripture. Because the Message version, the Amplified version, is just powerful. And it will help us to see why Satan is afraid of the name of the Lord. And then we'll see it as actually a powerful weapon in our lives. So that's Colossians 2, verse 10 to 15. So let's read it together. If you have Message or Amplified, we'll read it after together as well. So, if you are there, let's... Yes, 2 verse 10 to 15. Okay. Is everyone there? Okay. We'll read it together. 1, 2, 3.
No,
can you read first? Yeah. Okay.
And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. In whom also ye are circumcised with circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the circumcision of your flesh, as he put him together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having all principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over the enemy.
Hallelujah. Amen. And then let's read Amplified Version for that. Oh, I can read it if you guys don't have. Verse 15 again. Amplified Version puts it in a very interesting way. It says, when he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, those supernatural forces of evil operating against us, he made a public example of them, exhibiting them as captives in his triumphal procession, having triumphed over them through the cross.
Amen.
This is what he did to Satan. He said, he made him a slave, basically. Dragging him, more like tying a rope. And then Satan is being dragged.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
That is what he did. So Satan is afraid of it. Let me read the Message before I even continue. Message version is very, very, it's very beautiful. It says, verse 15. Okay. It's hard to find here. Okay, let me start from. Okay, think of it. All sins forgiven, the slate wiped clean, that old arrest warrant cancelled and nailed to Christ's cross. He stripped all the spiritual tyrants in the universe of their sham authority at the cross and march them naked through the streets.
Hallelujah. Oh Lord, I feel like shouting. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Glory to Jesus.
Amen.
He marched them naked.
Yes.
They were ashamed, they were afraid. Basically, that's what he did to them. He died on the previous verses explained how he died on the cross, how he stripped them of their power. He blotted out our own transgression. And Satan was he was actually surprised as well that, oh my, it was more of as if God didn't thought Satan, because Satan thought he had a little wrong. God just looked at him, indeed. Just like, oh my God, glory, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
That is what Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
And then when we know, Satan still remembers this thing that happened. I don't know
which year
that happened. When he was much naked through the streets. And when he became a captive, he still remembers. So what we are saying in Jesus. So when we are saying in Jesus' thing, Satan is, oh my God, in Jesus' name, I remember. Yeah. Uncle used this example. Uncle said, if there are two people, okay, let me say, Jimmy beat me. Sorry, because I almost said Jimmy beat her. Jimmy beat me. Like, really, there was a time she beat me, black and blue, like, I even had to use crutches for some time. And then, let's say, and then let's say I'm not picking a fight with Nonso, for instance, now. And then Nonso now says, I'll just go and report it to Jimmy again. Because I remember that time that I was in crutches. I said, I'm so sorry, just forgive me. Don't go and tell Jimmy. That is the same way Satan is afraid. When we mention the name of Jesus, Satan is trembling, he's shaking. Because he knows what God has already done. The victory. When we are saying the name of Jesus, we are just appropriating the victory that's already
that's
been
right.
won. There's no, we are just appropriating the victory. It is already done. There's nothing we are doing. We are not fighting too much. There's not too much shouting. We are just like doing it. We are just saying in Jesus' name, it is done already. So that is the name of Jesus. We have to constantly remind ourselves of what Jesus has done and why Satan is afraid. So when we say the name of Jesus, we will not be thinking that we are just playing. What power? That is what we are. It is done. That is what I can remember. The authority of the Lord. It is sealed and no man can open it. So Satan trembles at the name of the Lord. Every knee bows. Every tongue confesses that Jesus is Lord when we mention the name of the Lord. So hallelujah to that. We have the name of the Lord as a security. And Satan trembles at the name of the Lord. So we have to remember that Satan is afraid when we mention the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So that is the what point? The fourth point. Okay, yeah. Satan trembles at the mention of the name of God. Hallelujah. So, the other point is the name of the Lord allows us to speak as one having authority. So, the scripture that comes to mind is when. How do I even put this scripture now? Okay. Was the scripture I was reading? Yes. So, it's from Matthew 7. Verse 29. Jesus already finished, I think he started from verse 5 or something. He was teaching the people. And then, Matthew 7, verse 21. Okay, from verse 28. So Jesus already finished speaking and teaching the word. And then in verse 28, it says, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended the sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Verse 29, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So the name of the Lord allows us to not just pray as one having authority, but also to teach the word as one having authority. The people were just, they were looking and they were wondering. It's not as if Jesus said, oh, I was the son, although he had said it 20 times that I'm the son of the Lord, but they did not believe him. But he didn't even have to say it yet. They were just looking and they were astonished. Just the way he was speaking with so much confidence because he knew what was in him. He taught the scripture as one having authority. So the name of the Lord allows us to speak as one having authority. So as I said before, prayer, when you pray, in your mind as you are praying, what should be in your heart or in your mind is that it is already done, and then once I'm seeing it in the name of Jesus, there's no need to struggle too much or to fight too much or to shout or say many words. You can just use the word of God and say, okay, I am healed by stripes, sealed with the Lord in Jesus' name, seal it is done already. Using the word of using the word of God and the name of God together is powerful. You just pick the name, the word, any word in the Bible, and then seal it with the name of God. That prayer is answered already, as long as you are a child of God. So using the name, the name of the Lord allows us to speak as one having authority. And Tolu was sharing last week, about resurrection and the when the Israelites were rescued from Egypt. And in the past, when Moses was about to, they were at the front of the Red Sea and they were about to split the sea into two, and the people were crying. Let's actually go there. Exodus 14. Remember that. 14. Yes, 14. Exodus 14, verse 14. Okay. So it says from 14, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. So interesting, in verse 14 it says, the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. But then God said unto Moses, speak unto the children, and lift up your rod. So if you see this, the Lord is the one doing the fighting. It is like more of when we pray and we say, in Jesus' name, we are appropriating the victory that is already done. The Lord has already fought for the people of the Israelites here. They already won the battle. He said, you shall hold your peace. But Moses was just appropriating the victory, speaking the word, speaking the name of God. And he says, God was speaking to Moses, why are you crying unto me? So more of when we think about back to the story of Esther, when a man wrote those letters, he didn't have to bring it back to God. So more in this sense, why are you bringing your letters to me again? Why are you crying unto me when I've already given you the authority? Just speak the word and then lift up your rod. And remember Palinx, in summer, he put a message, you guys remember, on the rod. And one of the things he said the rod symbolizes is, does anyone remember? Yes, power and authority. That's what the rod, if you check the meaning of rod, it even means scepter as well. So it symbolizes power and authority. So God said in verse 16, lift up thy authority and divide the sea. Stretch out your hand and divide the sea. Why are you crying unto me when I have given the authority? Speak the word, lift up your rod, the authority of the Lord, and divide it. Speak your, as in context of Tolu's message, speak yourself back into life with the word of God and seal it. Resurrect back. Lift up the authority I've given unto you. Why are you crying when I've already given you everything you need? When I blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, lift up your rod. So the name of the Lord, like Moses, allows you to speak as one having authority, and the sea is divided. Mountains are moved. Everything is done in the name of the Lord. That is power. No need to shout more. We have the victory already, but we just appropriate it with the name of the Lord. So the name of the Lord allows us to speak as one having authority, like Jesus did and like Moses did at the parting of the Red Sea. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So that was the fifth point. The name of the Lord allows us to speak as one having authority. So when we go back to the previous one, now the first one was to what? No, the first. The authority. Yeah. Second one. Yes. Yeah. So the third one. And the fourth one. And the fifth one. As authority. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So that is basically the exaltation on the name of the Lord. It was more of, we already know that we have the name of the Lord and we pray. It's just because I felt as if me, because I had been praying in the name of the Lord so many times, I failed to see the power in the name of the Lord. So it's more of to open our eyes when we are praying, or when we pray finish and we say in Jesus' name, that will bring rest in our hearts because we know it's done. So not that we pray and then our mind is also just wandering and it's like, ah, I have to keep saying this, but I have to keep saying it over and over and over. Just like the people, I don't know when Jesus said, when you pray, don't pray as those that just repeat the same words over and over. But we should be able to pray that we just, and when we say in Jesus' name, we believe that it is done, that it is sealed, and only the line of the tribe of Judah can prevail to open that seal in Jesus' name.
Amen.
God bless you guys, and I hope it was good.
Exalt his name, and that's I want right. us to do that, that's you know, right. even as we've heard that one. So, I want us to sing this song. It says, at the mention of your name,
every nation of
that I've lost this day, which I will still keep. If you have the time, those names that you compile, please send it. Send it to us. Because there is so much power. Power and authority in each and every one of those names. I will give us an example. When the Lord appeared to Moses, I believe when he was still with Jethro, while he was guarding the sheep, and he saw the fire burning on the tree. And after the Lord encountered him and, you know, all of that, then Moses asked the Lord a question. He said, when I go to this people, who shall I what? Tell them that you want to go. Actually, let's go to that. I want them to see. In fact, it is one of the first introductions of God to his people. Exodus 3. From verse 13. Are we all there? Let's read together. One, two, go. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your father has sent me unto thee, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children, I am. Says Jehovah God. Okay, you don't know that song. I am that I am.
I am that I am.
Thank you. I am.
Yes.
The I am. That is your name.
Yes.
That is your name. That is your name. That is your name. That is your name. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I remember when I, you know, saw that the I am that I am. And I began to think, what does that mean? When he says that he is the I am. And pondering on it, I just discovered that truly there isn't one thing that you can just pinpoint to describe God. He is the undescribable God. There is so much that you can say. And the Bible says that what? God is what? All things. And in him is also what? All things. And also, I realized that God left that name as an open check to his people. So, if in any situation you see yourself that maybe you find yourself in a time of need, you have the power to call him and say, Lord, you are my provider.
Hallelujah.
And he will appear to you and say, what? I am your provider. If you are in a time of need in terms of maybe sickness or you are not feeling too well, you can call him and say, Lord, you are my healer.
Yes.
And he will come and appear to you and say, I am your healer.
Thank you, Jesus.
That name that he gave to the people was an open check for us to be able to relate to him and to
write.
Lord, whatever. So that the Lord said to me that whatever you want me to be, that is what I will be to you.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
So whatever you say, if you want him to say, Lord, I need a friend. I need someone I can speak to. Someone say, he will appear to you and say what? I am a friend to you. And I want us to make use of that open check. Anything you, even if it's in terms of the scriptures, you say, Lord, I want you to what? Be my teacher. You are my teacher. And he will appear to me and say what? I am your teacher. And he will teach you. So, brethren, the name of the Lord, all these things that we're hearing is for us to make use of it. To help us. To strengthen us. And she said something that is very important. She said it's not just something that we just mention and everything. In fact, when God tells us his name, it is for the purpose of revealing himself unto us. It is for the purpose of revealing his nature, his character, all that comprises of him. And which is why I said those 17 names are very important, because we see the different natures and the different character of our God. And anytime God gives us his name, it is because he's about to begin a work in our midst. This same Exodus, let's go to Exodus 6. Because he also gave Moses another name of himself. Exodus 6, from verse 2. He says, and God spake unto Moses, and said unto him, I am the Lord.
I am the Lord.
And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty, El Shaddai. So at that dispensation of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, that was how he revealed himself to them, as the God Almighty, the God who reigns. But now he was about to begin a new work in the midst of his people. And he gave them a new name. He says, I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name what? Jehovah, was I not known to them. And Jehovah means the Lord. That is what it means. Yahweh. The self-existent one. Now, remember I said, whenever God gives his name, it is for the purpose of him revealing himself to the people and also beginning a new work in the midst of his people. And I began to ponder, when you say the Lord, what word comes to you if you think of the context of what the Lord represents? Okay, Master. Yes. The King. Okay. Yeah, close. But the word I'm looking for is servants. Wherever the word the Lord comes in, he also has what? Servants. And if you notice, in the people of Israel, when he called them out of Egypt, one of the reasons why he called them out, he said that, when he told Moses, when Moses was speaking to Pharaoh, he said, I have called them out in order that they might what? Serve me. In order that they might worship me. So when the Lord revealed himself to them as the Lord, it was for the purpose of raising up servants, people that will serve him, people that will worship him. And so I want us to understand that when we are saying the name Jesus, which means what? I'm sure we all know what the name Jesus means.
Savior.
The Lord who saves. It is because he is doing a work in our midst. He is saving us, bringing salvation unto our lives. First to our spirits, which we have experienced, and what he's already doing now in our souls by saving us. It is a work that he's doing. And we ought to always honor that name in our lives, in everything that we do. Now, brethren, I want us to understand something. She said that the name is as a seal of ownership upon our lives. It says the Lord nameth those that are what?
Yes.
That are his. He knows those that are his. And seeing that we bear his name, there is a standard of living that we ought to live.
Thank you, Jesus.
Someone who bears his name is just like with the analogy she used, for example. I mean, not the analogy, the scripture she read of Esther and how Haman now beared the name of the king. You wouldn't see him just living anyhow. You wouldn't see him just walking around in the middle. In fact, all he just had to do was just what? Write the decree and pass it on to those. He had a standard of living based on the name in which he carried. And so also we, knowing that we bear the name of the Lord, have a standard of living that we ought to carry. And that standard of living is the what? The heavenly lifestyle. We ought to live as those that carry his name. Jesus Christ lived as one who carried and bear the name of God in all that he did. There were things that you wouldn't find him doing, and there were things that you would find him doing as one who bear the name of the Lord. And one of them is prayers. If I have to give an example, one who bears the name of the Lord is one who is given to prayers, who is given to setting his time apart unto the Lord. One who bears the name of the Lord is one who stands as a representative of the Lord. Is one whereby when you see him, you know that this one is unique. You know that this one is different. And such a one is never ashamed to bear the name of the Lord. And which is sadly something that is not seen today. Not many people are proud publicly to say that yes, they bear the name of the Lord. They bear the character of the Lord, the nature of God in their lives. And which is one of the things that we are going to be taking to prayers today. Remember she said, she read the scripture in Matthew. She said that what? This people, they prophesied in their name. They did many things in the name of the Lord, as was their right to do so. But yet, what happened? He says what? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. But yet they were making use of that name. And which means, like she said, they were lacking the seal.
The seal.
The seal of the name in their foreheads. of course, which is symbolic of the mind and the heart. And I tell you, brethren, just as currently the Lord is sealing his elect in their foreheads, so also the kingdom of darkness are also sealing many today in the mind, as it was seen in the previous chapter in Revelation 13. But our concern is not about them, it's about the sealing of the name of the Lord in our minds. And that is one prayer point we are going to pray. Remember, the name of the Lord speaks of the nature and the character of God, who God is in his entirety. And he wants that to be a part of us. No wonder one of the rewards of the overcomer is the word, I will give unto him what? A new name. A new revelation of himself. Because there is still so much of God that we still have to come to some issues. So much was one of the prayers of Paul in Ephesians 3 for the church. You know, that they might be filled with Christ and all of that. Christ may dwell in their hearts by faith. You know, they may come unto the knowledge of the love of God, that we might what? Receive the fullness of God. So there is still so much more that we are to come into. But it is as we continue to surrender ourselves unto him, right? And keep ourselves open unto him, that he will seal his name and seal his nature in us. So I want us to arise on our feet and come into a place of prayer. We've heard of the name of the Lord. She spoke so much about the power and the authority that is in that name, which we'll come into. But more importantly, is the sealing of his name in our minds, in our hearts, upon our foreheads. The sealing of his nature upon our minds. The sealing of his character